There is a curse that I can't seem to cure. Chained to a past full of shadows and fear. I keep on walking, not sure if I'm moving away.
This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay safe and pure online. In this special series on Covenant Eyes Radio, we are addressing the harms caused by pornography. This week we are talking about the controversial subject of pornography addiction. Can someone be truly addicted to pornography? We have three guests for our roundtable discussion. First, Michael Leahy, best known for his university tour, Porn Nation, which has visited over 200 campuses. As someone who is a self-identified recovering sex addict, Michael speaks with us about his take on the subject of porn addiction. Next, we have Jan Meza, an ex-porn star who now speaks out about the destructive nature of porn, both for the consumers and the performers. And last, we have Noel Boucher, Vice President of Pure Hope, a national coalition that has helped to educate the public about the harms of pornography for nearly 30 years. Michael, you've traveled all around the country, even internationally, and you've been sharing your story about your own porn addiction. You've written several books, Porn Nation, Conquering America's Number One Addiction, which is a great book. You've appeared on dozens of national and local news programs. You've even gone toe-to-toe with debating porn director Ron Jeremy, which has always been interesting to listen in on. And I'm sure you've had thousands of conversations about the addictive nature of porn, but some don't believe that we can say pornography is really addictive. They don't like the use of the word addictive when it comes to pornography. Have you heard this criticism, and how have you responded to it?
Well, yeah, you know, the way you recaptured that with your second comment is really kind of where that's at in terms of what I'm hearing. I don't hear a lot of people contesting whether it's addictive or not, but they really get hung up on the label. There's a big contingent in our culture, and it's not just in the church, that has an issue or has a problem with calling anything an addiction. And I think it has to do with the sense that when a person says, hey, I have a, you know, fill-in-the-blank addiction, that they're relinquishing personal responsibility for that. And they, you know, when you've been through that, like I have yourself, you've been through the recovery process, you know, you're still working through issues and all. The last thing that I see in recovery groups is people really relinquishing personal responsibility. If anything, it's just the opposite. I think it's where you have folks that are in denial, so they really aren't entering the recovery process, and they tend to talk about, you know, they tend to kind of shift the blame over to, oh, well, you know, it's because of this or that. And we see that in the culture a lot. But, you know, back to the root of your question, I think there are plenty of examples now through studies of the neurochemistry of the brain and all that really show that that pornography and sexual stimuli in and of itself is extremely addictive. So I don't hear too many people contesting that. They just don't like the label.
Well, I guess what label would they prefer? Do they prefer another kind of label?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. I'd love to hear from some of the other folks on this call because, you know, labels are worth, you know, the paper you write them on, and I don't think too many people take them too seriously. But here's what I've kind of found is the folks that really don't understand this issue or that aren't really close to it or haven't really studied it or been around it that tend to have the biggest problem with it. If you've spent any time with a person or a group of people that have been addicted to pornography or sexually addicted, and you spent any time with them through recovery, any time with their spouses or their loved ones, you know that there's something going on here, that there is an incredible pull. There's an amazing power that, you know, the sexual stimuli and sexually charged material like pornography can have on an individual, and it doesn't hit everyone the same way. But boy, if the connection is there, and if people do have somewhat of a, whether you want to call it a predisposition genetically, or you know something from their family of origin or what have you that just makes them susceptible to this, as we've obviously seen in, you know, the national headlines recently, it can totally take you out of the game, and it can destroy, you know, relationships, families, and it can just be incredibly devastating. So fortunately, I think because of some of the more recent things that have been happening in the national headlines, certainly with Tiger Woods, you know, certainly with Representative Wiener and, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger and all, we're seeing this out-of-control behavior, and a lot of it is relating to, you know, the root cause or the things that are at the root of the issue, which typically is born out of a relationship with porn.
What else do you guys think about that? Noel, Jan, what do you think?
Well, pornography is the dirty little secret that nobody wants to discuss. I mean, sex is so taboo, especially in the church. I mean, how often do you even hear the Song of Solomon being discussed in a church service? You know, something that's so beautiful and meant to be pure is not. You know, and a lot of the issue with Christians is that they already have this preconceived righteousness that you can't tell them anything else. You know, it's definitely an addiction. When something takes a hold of your mind and your body and your senses, and that's all you can think, that's all you can eat, that's all you live for, then it's definitely addiction, and porn does that. And, you know, people don't see people inside of the porn industry, the porn actresses, as people. They see them as objects. It's nothing but a fantasy to them. And, you know, an addiction is something that people don't want to admit to. You know, they walk around thinking, oh, well, this makes me feel good. Well, this temporarily takes away the pain. And pornography does do that for people. In their mindset, this is how they feel about sex and sexual acts, is that, oh, this is something that's going to relieve my pressure. It's like an escape of reality for them. And it just completely takes a hold of them.
I think Jan, you know, it is the dirty little secret. She's right on with that. And Michael hit it on the head, too. And I think we could probably spend hours. Well, we could spend hours because people are spending hours, right, with the DSM and everything else, trying to wrestle to the ground. Is this an addiction or not? And there's probably a couple things, you know, at the surface that when we talk about the general, you know, society's view on this, or the obstacles or hurdles that are preventing someone or our society as a whole from, you know, calling it an addiction. I mean, number one, there's some counterintuitive things, right? Like we can understand alcohol and drugs, they're being ingested, they're going into the body. This is something different to some degree. It's a behavior. And of course, we've recognized other behaviors as addictive, you know, gambling and things like that. But sex, I don't, you know, we understand it so as something that's pleasurable and desirable. And maybe, you know, that stops people. Maybe it's a deliberate choice to say no. We're not going to call something that's so pleasurable that I enjoy the gratification of it to such an extent, and we're not going to say this could ever be bad, except for, you know, what some people might call exploitative situation. But what we're talking about here is exploitation, because people are being harmed, they're being destroyed, they're being sucked in, they're being changed, they're shipwrecking their lives, as Michael said. You know, it's compulsive behavior playing out. And so I don't know, I'm just kind of talking around the subject of why is it our society can't call this addictive. Obviously, a lot of money for 50, 60 years has been spent to kind of program our society to accept this as normalized, and that's going to be a big switch for our society.
I mean, everything you see is geared to sexy. You know, when you look in movies, when they're coming out with movies about friends with benefits, you know, how it's normal to be in a sexual relationship with your friends, and that there's no commitment necessary, there's no marriage necessary. You know, shows like Skins, you know, were geared toward adolescent girls and boys in these sexual behaviors, and that's supposed to be okay because it's society today. You know, drink this, it'll make you feel sexy. Wear this, it'll make you look sexy. I mean, sexy is our culture now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think this whole issue about addiction, often when we talk about the label of addiction, I think often the most extreme cases are the ones that are highlighted, the ones that are either in the tabloids or in the news, where some high-profile person's secret life becomes, you know, comes unraveled and becomes public, and when they lose everything as a result of these kind of things. And that typically, I think for some people, their image of sort of a compulsive behavior Whereas what Jan, what you're pointing out here is that really there's kind of a sliding scale here. It's not just I'm an addict or I'm not an addict. There's this whole there's a whole gray area in between of our entire culture's moved in this direction of sexy. Michael, I know you speak a lot about this at your when you do your Porn Nation tours and stuff like that. Have you noticed this as well?
Well, yeah, and I think you're hitting on a really important point, because the people who are typically pro-porn, you know, if you will, really want to point this out, is this is just kind of a normal thing. It's related to sex. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's just, you know, it's pleasurable. And as long as you don't become addicted, there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's that other side that's really in the medical community that's wrestling with semantics. And they're not sure whether to call it, you know, sexual addiction, or is it really an addiction or not. And, you know, they're just so deep in the trees that they don't really see the damage that can be done and is done long before it becomes an addiction.
Right, yeah.
You know, as I've been out speaking to students, one of the things that we've strategically been trying to avoid doing, even in promoting my Porn Nation events, is to ever mention the word addiction. In fact, a lot of times they'll present me as, you know, I'm coming as a speaker, I'm an author, activist, you know, but we don't mention the word, you know, recovering sex addict, because in the eyes of most students, or really most people, I think, they think right immediately that turns them off, and they think, well, that's not me. You know, that's not going to apply to me. I can use pornography and not get caught up in it, not let it become a compulsive or addictive behavior, which certainly would be, you know, destructive. And that's probably the number one question that I get from students is, can you look at the material recreationally without becoming addicted? And is there anything wrong with that? Is there any problem with that? And the immediate response that I give the students is simply this, and Jan, I'm sure you'll appreciate this, you know, with mm-hmm. your organization dealing with people having come out of the industry. I say, okay, well, recreationally, so do you think that it's okay if I just beat my wife once a month, you know, or just a couple times, or if I just, you know, yell at her and, you know, slam doors in her face, and, you know, rough her up sexually, you know, a couple times a month? I mean, I'm not addicted to it. I'm not doing it every day. I'm not doing it all the time. You know, I'm just debasing her and degrading her every once in a while. That should be okay, right? And it really stops them in their tracks. And I really think for a lot of them, it's the first time that they've thought of this as having some potential danger in this zone, this gray area, as you refer to, Luke, that may not be, you know, qualified as a fully addictive behavior.
You have been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson. Next week, we will be talking to Michael, Jan, and Noel again about the way pornography harms children. For more research about today's topic, visit pornharms.com. To hear more of our podcasts, look for us on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog. I forgot.